Our next guest is the executive editor of Backstage, which is the actor's newspaper, the Performing Arts Weekly, I should say. He's also the author of three books, including most recently Rage and Glory, a biography of George C. Scott. And I did not realize this. David Sheward is also a Tony voter. I think he's the one person on this program today who actually votes for the Tonys. Is that true, Dave?
I don't know.
Well, no, you don't know about the other guests, whether they can vote, but you are a Tony voter.
Yes, I am.
Cool. Cool. Was it, what is the experience? I mean, do they send you a ballot in the mail and you mail it back? How do you do, or is it online now? How do you do it?
Well, they send you a ballot in the mail, which mm-hmm. you are supposed to fill out, and then send it back to them and sign the envelope. You don't sign the ballot. And then they count it secretly, so it can be totally anonymous.
Oh, cool. What was the toughest category for you to?
Well, there were some difficult some of the categories that we'll be discussing. Musical was very difficult because there were a lot of worthy nominees. Best score of a musical was difficult because I really enjoyed The Book of Mormon and Catch Me If You Can and The Scottsboro Boys, which is a very enjoyable show, but unfortunately is no longer running.
Right.
But I
actually
did see it.
Since we went right to it, let's talk about Best Original Score written for the theater. You mentioned Catch Me If You Can, but that's not even up there. That's not one of the nominees.
Oh. My apologies.
No, it's fine. It's fine. It's cool. I'm one of the things is, are you disappointed that Catch Me If You Can did not make the roster of original score, because Mormon did, Scottsboro Boys, Sister Act, and Women on the Verge of a Nervous Breakdown are the nominees.
Yeah, I thought that the show itself was not entirely successful. It was kind of lacking, but the score had a lot going for it, I felt.
Okay. So what about the other, the shows that are actually nominated for the Tony in that category?
Well, I think that as far as predicting what's going to win in that category, mm-hmm. I think it's between The Book of Mormon, The Book of Mormon,
yeah,
and
Scottsboro?
Scottsboro Boys.
Okay.
The Book of Mormon is the big show this year that is going to, I think, take the most awards. It's nominated for the most. I think it's got 14 nominations. It's the biggest hit. People tend to want to give the big hit the most awards, and it's also very funny and very clever. And mm-hmm. however,
yeah,
the Scottsboro Boys was the last show that Fred Ebb, the late Fred Ebb, the lyricist of Cabaret, ever worked in Chicago, ever worked on, and it also received. It did not. It closed after a few months during its Broadway run. I think that a lot of the Broadway community may want to honor it and him by giving it. And this would be the award that they would give it to. I don't think it has a chance in any of the other categories.
Right. Wow.
It was not a success because of its, you know, I don't know, because of its subject matter, which was about, it was the true story of eight young African American men who were falsely accused of raping two women in the Deep South, and they were imprisoned and sort of railroaded. And the musical is a very dark treatment of that subject.
Right, well, dark, but also in a way ironic and snarky. They turn it into a minstrel show, and that I think.
Yes.
I don't know if that annoyed anybody or if that made any kind of controversy, but I don't know if it helped either. Putting a minstrel show on Broadway in 2011.
That's true.
Yeah.
There were certain people who were offended by it, who did not see it as ironic, who did not feel that it was, who felt that just doing a minstrel show and was offensive, as opposed to using the form in an ironic sense. Which is what they were doing. That would be the crux of the controversy.
What
and
did you
I don't think that helped
yeah.
At the box office at all.
Well, what did you think of Sister Act, which is probably one of those nearly critic-proof shows, although there was no guarantee of that going in. I mean, 9 to 5 should have been critic-proof. It wasn't. Sister Act, Your thoughts?
Sister Act is, you know, I enjoyed it. It was kind of, I think the reviews were mixed to good as opposed to mixed to bad.
Right, yes.
Kind of the impression that 9 to 5 got. It was, I think people, you know, the film that it's based on is not as popular or as well entrenched as 9 to 5. It's not one of the, you know, it's not like it was not a tremendous, you know, huge iconic thing that you see and you never forget. It was an enjoyable little comedy, and the thing about the thing is that in the movie, Whoopi Goldberg plays a character who has a sort of an overinflated idea of how good she is as an entertainer. And in the musical, Bettina Miller, who plays the role that Goldberg originated, really is a very good singer and dancer. And it's entirely believable that she could take a chorus of nuns and make them into a big attraction.
Oh.
And it was very enjoyable, I think.
Cool. Let's move on to the acting category that you've got, where we wanted to talk about actor in a leading role in a musical. The nominees are Norbert Leo Butz, Catch Me If You Can, Josh Gad, and Andrew Rennells, both up against each other in The Book of Mormon, Joshua Henry for The Scottsboro Boys, and we haven't really talked about this musical all afternoon, but Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, has Tony Sheldon in there. Your thoughts on this category, David Short?
Probably one of the few categories this year where it's a real horse race, where it could really go any particular way. Josh Gad has already won the Outer Critics Circle Award for this. Mm-hmm. Norbert Leo Butz won the Drama Desk Award.
For Catch Me, mm-hmm.
Right, for Catch Me If You Can. Tony Sheldon is just wonderful and brilliant as the transsexual Bernadette in Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, and it's a very lovable. It's one of those roles like Alban in La Casa Fall. It's very lovable, larger than life, drag queen kind of persona, which Broadway just tends to love.
But do you think that's going to work against him? Because just last year we had the revival of La Casa Fall, and the guy playing Alban won the Best Actor in a Musical Tony. Do you think they're going to say, "Oh no, not again, not another transvestite"? Lovable, you know.
Right. They may be thinking, well, we gave it to a drag queen last year. We don't need to do it again this year.
Right.
So that may be working against him. My personal choice is Norbert Leo Butz, who I thought had the biggest acting challenge in that role in Catch Me If You Can. He plays the role of FBI agent Hanratty, which is the role that Tom Hanks played in the film version.
Mm-hmm.
And what the challenge was that he's this schlubby, ordinary, not very glamorous, not very charismatic guy who's sort of like a bloodhound going after the very glamorous, exciting con artist played by Aaron Tveit, who is not nominated, but something should have been. And also to make that guy believable as a character who would sing and dance. Butz, I thought, pulled it off brilliantly. And he has already won a Tony Award for Dirty Rotten Scoundrels a few years earlier, in which he played a con man.
Well, that's right.
So it's sort of the tables are turned. He's playing the opposite role, the cop versus the criminal. I'm voting for Butz.
You're voting? Oh, that's right. You're a voter. Well, you already did vote. You must have voted already. But do you think Butz will win, or maybe Josh Gad from Mormon, or maybe Sheldon will pull it out? What do you think? Who do you think will win?
It could be a surprise. I mean, the two guys in the Book of Mormon could cancel each other out. But Josh Gad has the much more showy, bigger, flashy role. He plays sort of the dorky, geeky, socially inept missionary, as opposed to Andrew Rennell, who's sort of the golden boy missionary. So it really could go in any direction. I'm hoping Norbert Leo Butz wins, but in some predictions that I made online, I said Tony Sheldon because I hadn't thought of your point that a drag queen role did win the previous year. So it could go in any direction.
Cool. We are talking with David Sheward, the executive editor of Backstage. And let me ask, as long as I've got you on the phone, just a little bit about what you do at Backstage and the fact of the sea change. How has Backstage adapted? Because in the old days, not that long ago, the whole thing is you go to the newsstand if you were an actor, and you grab Backstage that day, and it would show you all the auditions for the week, and you circle what you did, and you carry it with you. But, of course, in the past 15 years or so, the internet has taken over. It's been a whole sea change in how things go. How have you, and you've been with Backstage for quite a long time, so how has Backstage ridden the change in technology and the change in the way information is carried nowadays?
Well, we have the Backstage website, backstage.com, and that's been up for quite a few years. Mm-hmm. And now when we still have the print edition, which comes out every week, and that still has, you know, the auditions listed every week, but we, as soon as we get a casting notice, it goes online. And our subscribers to the online edition get notification by email saying, you know, if there's a new casting notice, they can specify, you know, whether they're male or female, their type, what talents they have, so it can match what the casting directors are looking for. So they'll get an email saying, you know, if you're, say, a young singer who can dance somewhat, and this is your vocal range, and these are the shows you've been in, and these are the types of roles you're interested in, you will get an email saying they're having an audition for Sister Act, for chorus, people in the chorus, that you would, you know, that you would be perfect for. So here's the information. We have a newsletter which we send out to our subscribers, letting them in on all the news and all the casting news, and so that's how we keep up.
Cool. I know, it sounds great. It sounds like you've adapted. And then you specifically, as executive editor, your job is to basically pull it all together, and you also, I assume, write theater reviews for Backstage.
Yeah.
And what else are your responsibilities? Do you do features?
Well, it's making sure everything gets put together. We used to have two editions, one on the East Coast, one on the West Coast. Now it's one, the newspaper is now one edition. So it's coordinating everything with our West Coast office, making the assignments for the editorials, what topics are we going to cover, who are we going to interview, who are we going to put on the cover each week, how are we going to, what questions will we ask, what do our readers want to know about them. We had Sutton Foster on cover. We did a whole Tony Awards special issue where we profiled each of the 39 nominees in all the acting categories.
Wow.
We did a profile of some of the special winners, like the Drama Bookshop, the Looking Glass Theater, which is getting a special award, and the puppetry team of Warhorse.
Right, Handspring,
So we did a whole look at that. So it's just, just making that go and getting it done.
Cool. Well, we're almost done with David Sheward of Backstage, but I did want to ask, last minute or two, your thoughts on the best and worst of the whole season, on and off Broadway. Your thoughts?
Well, best, I mean, we're celebrating that now with the Tonys. Definitely Warhorse is one of the most brilliantly designed and executed pieces that I've ever seen. It's really wonderful, and I would definitely recommend it. Mm-hmm. Worst is, off-Broadway also, I want to include that too, some of the best things I've seen off-Broadway. There was a show that I don't want people to forget. It's called Passion Play by Sarah Rule, which opened just at the about a year ago at the beginning of the season, which only had a short run, but it was a really brilliant play about the Passion of the Christ play as performed in three different historical eras.
And Sarah Rule is the woman who wrote the vibrator play, right? In the next room?
I beg your pardon?
Was Sarah Rule, she was the author of the Broadway play In the Next Room, the Vibrator Play.
That's right.
Yeah, which
That's
is
right.
really brilliant, yeah.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's a very talented, interesting player. She has developed. She looks at things from a very different perspective. As far as worst goes, I'm always, hesitant to, label, but there was a show off Broadway during the summer last year, part of the season, but last summer, called Viagra Falls.
Yes. Okay. Viagra with a V.
One of the worst things I've ever seen. It was pretty awful, and it was just this terrible, unfunny show of two old. One of them was played by Bernie Capel of The Love Boat.
Oh.
And it was the two old men who got some black market Viagra, and they hire a hooker for the night, and they drop the pills get mixed up, and she takes them by mistake, and.
Oh,
it was just awful. And there was another show with another actor from television, Peter Scolari from the Newhart show.
Yeah.
With a play called It Must Be Him by this television writer from the 70s called Kenny Solms, which was a terrible sitcom-y kind of a show about a gay writer who was trying to make a comeback. And which was probably based on the writer's own experiences, and he can't find love, and he doesn't know how to adjust himself to the modern world. And it was just very unfunny and very sitcom-y. So the two shows that were kind of sitcom trying to be like television sitcoms did not work off Broadway on the stage.
And certainly not in 2011.
So Viagra Falls and It Must Be Him with the titles, and they were the two worst.
That's right. I thought you were going to mention Dracula as another critic.
That was pretty bad too, and it was at the same theater as Viagra Falls.
Right. Yeah. That the unlucky little Schubert. Well, we are very lucky to have had David Sheward in the neighborhood here for the Total Theater Tony Show. David, I want to thank you so much for sharing your thoughts about this year's Tony season. I wish you a very happy next season, which has already started. And I want to just thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, David.
Bye-bye.